thanks for being with us today. We're happy to have you here. We have with us Joshua. How are you today, Joshua?
Thank you, Doris. And hello, everyone. This is Josh. I'm very happy to be here talking on Advance Radio with you all.
Well, Joshua, I think there's some very difficult words today, so are you ready to explain them?
I'm ready to work on them, and you're right. There are some very, very good words here in the article today.
And Pauline, thank you for coming.
Thanks. It's been a while. I'm happy to be back.
And, you know, this article here talks about questions, and who usually asks the most questions? I think little kids do, don't they? They're always saying, why do I have to do this? And, but do adults ask questions very often?
I don't think we ask as many. I think we lose some of our curiosity when we get older.
Kids ask so many things, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But this book is a more beautiful question. It's the name of a book, isn't it?
Right. We're going to talk about one person in particular who had a question that he kept thinking about and thinking about, and eventually it led to a pretty amazing answer.
And we're glad to have one of our listeners here today. You know, all of you listening in, if you come by Studio Classroom sometime, you can join us and you can ask some questions in class. So it's a good time to ask questions. Today we have Kason here. Hello, Kason. How are you?
Hello, Doris. I'm very excited to come to visit here.
Well, now you have to ask some questions that the other listeners might have, so you do that, okay?
Okay.
And thank you for coming to the program today.
Thank you.
Now, the program today is on page 26, and we're going to talk about this speed review. Now, they are always a little bit more difficult as far as vocabulary, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they can be. You know, you're looking at full books that have a lot of content, and then we're trying to do a quick review of it, so they use some pretty dense vocabulary to get the whole idea into a short amount of space.
Right. We're trying to take a review of this book and see what it's talking about. And it says on here, the power of questions led one man to a life-changing invention. So questions, I guess, have power.
Questions can have a lot of power, especially if you ask the right kinds of questions or you put a lot of thought into the questions you ask.
And you know, almost every invention comes about because some people had a question about why or something working. Isn't that true?
I think that's a great point. Before we have the breakthrough, the invention, someone had a problem and started thinking about how to solve it, that question of how can we change this, what can we do?
So open your magazines if you have or listen in. And today we're on page 26. And we're going to read the very first paragraph down through line 14. And so if you're at home, you might read out loud with us. That will help you remember the lesson better. So let's take the first paragraph.
A more beautiful question. The power of questions led one man to a life-changing invention. Why does a prosthetic foot have to look like a human foot? That simple question would revolutionize the world of prosthetics, leading to the invention of the flex foot prosthetic that has changed the lives of millions of amputees. The chapter one story of how the questions of young amputee Van Phillips inspired his groundbreaking invention sets the stage for Warren Berger's brilliant and inspiring book, A More Beautiful Question, and introduces his powerful why, what if, how framework, which will help readers exploit the full potential of questions.
Well, as we read that first paragraph, I thought this is more of a kind of a philosophical type of a lesson, isn't it? It's not very definite. There's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a little bit of both here, because we're going to get a personal story about one person's specific question and how it led him down a path to find a new invention. But it's also a philosophical question about how we interact with questions that we have about the world.
So what is the subject that we're starting to talk about today?
So today we're going to talk about prosthetics. So prosthetic is an artificial body part. So somebody who's lost a piece of their body and they need an artificial replacement, like a hand or a foot, but it could be anything. Could be an ear, could be a nose. That's what we call a prosthetic.
Okay. So this is like the adjective describing it. It's a prosthetic foot, a prosthetic hand. It means not a fake one, but an artificial one, doesn't
it?
And why would people have to have an artificial one?
Well, of course, there are accidents that happen in the world. Somebody might get in a car accident or something, and they lose a part of their body and would like to have some functioning, whether that's walking, you know, needing a new leg or an arm. And there's also people who are born, right? Babies are born without a hand or without
a
foot.
That's true. Right. Mm-hmm. If you don't have one, if you've lost it because of an accident, then what are you going to do? Well, you get one put on there, see? And sometimes people, you know, have lost their leg and they have to get a prosthetic leg.
It's true.
But sometimes those things are hard to use. So we're going to talk about the world of prosthetics. The world of prosthetics means the subject that has to do with people who need these spare parts to their body. Now, the simple question is, why, if you have a foot, does it have to look like a human one? You know, it used to be during the world wars and things that when soldiers would go to war and they'd come back, and then they would give them a leg just like a stump, like a piece of wood or something. They didn't have foot or anything on them, just like a stump, right?
Sure.
And so why did they have to have one that, you know, that looks like another one? Well, that's an interesting question.
It is a very interesting question, and it looks like because what we're talking about here is someone who came, or the questions that led to a flex foot prosthetic. So it's a very special kind of prosthetic. And they say here that that invention has changed the lives of millions of amputees.
Who are amputees?
So amputees are people who, for example, were born with two legs, but then maybe had an accident or a disease or something, and part of their body, say their leg, had to be cut off. So when you lose a part of your body, when it's cut off, either your arm or your leg, then you're an amputee or somebody who's had that procedure done to you.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes when people are born without one, it's one thing. But an amputee is somebody who's probably been in an accident or something, or in the war or something.
Most likely it's been an accident or some sort of damage, like an infection, that has meant that a doctor has had to remove it for some reason.
Teachers, can you explain more about the flex foot prosthetic for me?
Flex foot prosthetic. Flex, to be flexible, means to be able to move easily. Now, if you have just a piece of wood for a foot, and you can walk on it with a cane, but if it's flexible, it can move. So a flex foot one would be one, if you look at the picture on the next page, you can see that it can move up and down. So it's flexible, be able to move. So flex foot, not just a steady thing to put on there. Not a hand, but a hand with fingers that move. So it would be flexible.
Also, it means it maybe adds some turning part into the prosthetic.
Exactly, that it has a turning part or a part that is bendable or flexible. So something that is flexible is something that can move, but it's also something that can bend. So a straight piece of steel that's very strong, it's not very flexible. You can't bend it very easily, but maybe a piece of aluminum, like they make for cans, is very flexible because it's very easy to bend it.
So they want that movable kind.
Or I was thinking the example of if you have a stick that from the ground of a piece of wood, if it just came off the tree, you can bend it, maybe all fold it completely, and it won't break. But if it's really dry, it's not flexible anymore. As soon as you try to bend it, it breaks.
Exactly.
So it's not flexible. So it has to be something that can move. And flexible are people who can move easily and change from one thing to another, not hard like that.
Oh, that's very true. When you talk about some person who
some
is flexible.
Some people are not flexible.
And some people are very much not flexible. It means someone who can adapt to changes easily.
Right. But we like to have something that's easy to use and move. That's right. It's a good question. So in chapter one of this book, they talk about this young amputee, a person who has had that happen to him, Van Phillips, and he inspired his groundbreaking invention. So a groundbreaking would be something very unusual. The first time it happened, breaking new ground means something you've not been done before.
Exactly.
So this something that hasn't been done before, a new invention that set the stage. What about setting the stage?
So when you set the stage for something, you are creating a situation that, so it's like an idiom that means that a situation or the conditions have been made for something else to happen, right? So in this particular example, this event of Van Phillips being the young amputee has set a condition that has allowed Warren Berger's brilliant and inspiring book to be written.
Yeah, okay. I think in this case it's saying, you know, this is the perfect example of what he's going to talk about in his whole book. So it helps begin to give you an idea of what the book's going to be about. It sets the stage for your understanding of the whole
right.
book.
And they said the book is very good. It's brilliant, which means it's really very smart book. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. It's inspiring because you feel this is wonderful. So hui gan dong ren. And this book, More Beautiful Question, gives this why, what, and how. Three things. Why should you do it? What if? And how? This is what we will be talking about today and tomorrow. And that will help the people who read the book exploit the full potential of the questions. In other words, it will help the people that read the book know how to really use these questions.
Yeah, so usually when we talk about exploiting something, we talk about taking advantage of something for its greatest use.
It's not a good word usually.
But usually it's not a good word. So if you were to exploit people, or if you were to, for example, you
for
could
advantage.
Say children that are forced to work
right.
are being exploited.
Right?
So they're being taken advantage of. And that's not usually the
but
best
here it's okay.
Case. But here it's okay.
Because here they mean they're going to make it possible. When people write, they like to use big words.
That's
and
true.
Sometimes it's confusing for mm-hmm. people. I would probably use another word here. But to take advantage of all of the things that you can do when you have potential, that means it can be something really good.
Mm-hmm.
Questions can be good.
Mm-hmm.
So they take advantage of questions. That's what they're saying. But we have to find out why here. Let's start. There's three things. There's why, what if, and how. So we're going to talk about all three. So what's the first one?
We're going to start with the whys.
Start with the whys. Mm-hmm. So let's read the next paragraph down through the second column, line 10.
Start with the whys. When a water skiing accident caused him to lose his foot at the age of 21, then college student Phillips suddenly found himself walking on not much more than a block of wood with foam rubber added, Berger writes. As Phillips tells Berger, I did have to accept that I was an amputee, but I would not accept the fact that I had to wear this foot. Phillips' frustration was encapsulated in the question that kept coming back to him. If they can put a man on the moon, why can't they make a decent foot? Then, Phillips took the vital next step. He decided to answer the question himself. Why can't they make a decent foot? Became, why can't I make a decent foot? Dropping his broadcast major, Phillips enrolled in the top prosthetic study program in the country. Through the next decade, Phillips continued to learn and continued to question.
Now, starting with the why is a very good idea, because that's why many things were invented. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Then we sometimes change. We say, why? Well, there's some reason we find out. So why did this person even think about this in the first place?
Well, that's a very good question. So here we learn about the story of a young man who, at the age of 21, had a water skiing accident.
And he lost his foot.
And he lost his foot, exactly.
Can you imagine that? When you're 21, losing your foot, wouldn't that be terrible? That's scary, you know, 21 years old and you lose your foot.
That's true.
It mm-hmm. would be very frightening, wouldn't it? So that's why it started, because he said he had to walk on this kind of a artificial foot. It was just a block of wood that had rubber on it, and it was just, you know, really strange. I mean, that wouldn't be very, you couldn't do much with that, could you?
Right, and he says that was the part that was really difficult for him. He says that he could accept that he was an amputee. He understood that this thing had happened to him, and he couldn't change the fact that he had had an accident, and he was able to accept that, but he just could not or would not accept the fact that he had to wear this foot. He thought, right, there has to be something better.
So he did accept. He says, okay, I am an amputee. I've had my foot gone. I mm-hmm. accept that. Mm-hmm. But why do I have to wear this kind of foot?
Right.
So he accepted the fact that he didn't have one, but he wanted to have a better one. So he asked why, didn't he?
He did, right? And so it says here in the next part that the question of why was encapsulated in that question, right?
So, now, that's a big word, encapsulated. Right? You know, most people don't know what that word means.
That is a big word, and it is one of the vocabulary's focus words here, and it says in the vocabulary focus that encapsulate is to express or show the most important facts about something. It can also mean to sum up, right, the most important thing,
to
include all the important things.
So even if you don't use that word in your conversation, you know what it means.
Exactly.
It means to include everything. Okay?
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to say here, is that this frustration that this young man was having at having to accept losing his foot but not having a good option to replace it, there was all that frustration was included in his question, which came back to him, if they can put a man on the moon, why can't they make a decent foot?
You know, I've asked that question sometimes. Haven't you asked that question? Why can't they solve the problem of cancer?
Right.
We can put a man on the moon. Why can't we get rid of cancer?
Exactly.
So people use that. We can do something great, put a man on the moon, but people are sick and we can't help them.
Right.
Have you ever thought of that question? How come we can do such great things in science, but we can't even cure cancer?
Right, and I think that is the idea, that we are so advanced in some areas. We have done some amazing things with technology and science, but then there's other areas that we feel like should be more simple to solve than getting somebody on the moon, but those things have not been solved, so it's a confusing question.
So that's where the why came, right?
Exactly.
So what did he do for the next important, the next vital step? What did he do?
Well, the vital step, so something that is vital is something that is absolutely necessary, very important, right? So the next vital step is that he decided to answer the question himself.
What was the question?
Why can't they make a decent foot?
Okay, that's the first why.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it again. Why can't they make a decent? Why can't they make a good foot? That's a good question. Why do they give me this block of wood?
Mm-hmm. But I love that it went from why can't they? It says it became why can't I make a decent foot? And that's a big switch to just be blaming other people and asking, oh, why can't they do that? Why can't they do that? To suddenly changing to saying, wait, why can't I do that? Maybe I can do something.
Right, because nobody else seemed to care about it. And so he said, well, I'll do something myself.
Do myself. And I think that's why they call this a vital next step. And it kind of gets back to the idea of getting the full potential out of questions. So instead of just asking about why can't somebody do something about it, to ask yourself,
what about you?
Why can't I do something about it? That's a very powerful question, right?
So he dropped his major. What was his major before in school?
So before, he was a broadcast major. So that's somebody who works in radio, television.
Communications,
right?
But then he said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to enroll in something else. What did he enroll in?
So enroll means to start or apply for another program. Mm-hmm. And the program was a prosthetics study program. So he wanted to learn about how prosthetics are made and the process of designing them.
That was a whole change of focus.
That's a big change.
Big change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So through the next decade, which is how long? About 10 years,
About 10 years. Mm-hmm.
Wow. He continued to learn, and he continued to question.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't give up. It was not easy.
Not easy, and not a simple answer, right? So we're talking about an answer that took 10 years at least in the making.
Mm-hmm. But he said, I have to figure out some way. Mm-hmm. People probably said, oh, forget it. And he's, no, I'm going to try. So don't give up. So let's read the last paragraph.
At first, Berger writes, his questions were a series of why questions, including questions about the material used. Why wood, when there were so many better alternatives? About the shape. Why does a prosthetic foot have to look like a human foot? And about the purpose. Why is the emphasis on trying to match the look of a human foot? Wasn't performance more important? Why questions are important in launching new ideas and mindsets, Berger notes. But to make change happen, why questions are not enough. At some point, he writes, Van Phillips progressed from why to what if.
Now, since we're talking about why, if you happen to have kind of a yellow marking pencil, you can go through and see how many whys. Why would, why this, so many whys. And that's what we're talking about, the why. So it's a whole series of questions, not just one. Now, what was the first question? Why, what?
Well, and the first question here that they're talking about in the reading is including questions about the material that is
right.
used, right?
Why
so
wood?
Why wood?
Mm-hmm. Why do we have to make a foot out of wood?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a very good question. So you can imagine
there were other alternatives. What is an alternative?
Well, so an alternative would be something else that you can use.
Okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go think about why wood, would you think maybe plastic or rubber? Mm-hmm. And you have to think of what are the other opportunities or potential, right?
Right, exactly.
So the first one is, why do I have to have wood? What was the second question, the why?
Why does a prosthetic foot have to look like a human foot? We talked about that a little bit at the beginning. Maybe people's first thought is, oh, maybe people feel bad that everyone looks at them and they can tell that they don't have a foot. We want to help them feel normal. And so maybe the emphasis was on how it looks instead of...
Why does it have to? Right?
Exactly. Instead of the next question, which he says, so it kind of progressed from that question of why does it have to look like a human foot to him saying, but why is that the purpose? Why is the purpose really to have it just look good? Or why not have performance be the
okay.
key point?
So the first one has to do with the material. Mm-hmm. And the second one is the way it looks. Mm-hmm. But then the third one is, why do they have to make it match that? Because it's not what it looks like, but the performance. Isn't it more important that you can use it?
Sure.
Instead
mm-hmm.
of clump, 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 if you could bend it and use it. Mm-hmm. So that was another why. So were the why questions very important on this idea or not? Do you think so?
Oh, I think why questions are very important, and they go here to explain that why questions are important in launching new ideas and mindsets.
Now, there's two things here. One is an idea. Mm-hmm. People have a lot of ideas. But what is a mindset?
So I was going to say the word mm-hmm. that comes to my mind is assumption. We just assume something should be done the way it has always been done because we're not asking any questions. We just think, oh, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And you just need something to stand on so there's a foot piece
right.
of wood.
Exactly. And so our mindset is just, we're just set on one way of doing things or one way of thinking about something.
And that's the way they do it.
Yeah.
But he says they need to make things change. So he said the why questions are okay, but that's just the beginning.
Right. They say that the why questions are not enough, right? So then mm-hmm. At some point... the why question goes into the next part of his framework, which is the what if part.
What if? What if we did this? What if we did that?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to a solution.
Right.
First you have a problem, mm-hmm. and everybody can tell you all the problems, mm-hmm. but what if we did something about it?
Right.
And that could happen with all the problems of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why are there so many poor people? Why? Well, what if all of us help them? I mean, we can do why and what if. So don't stop at why. Why's mm-hmm. good. That only sets the problem.
Right.
But what if says we could do something.
And I really like every time you said what if, the next word you said was we, right? Not what if they, what if those people mm-hmm. over there, but what if
me?
We or I
mm-hmm.
do something.
That's good. Well, we're going to talk about that more tomorrow because the time's almost up for today. So what's the most important thing we learned today?
I think the most important thing we learned today is that questions can be very powerful as long as you ask enough of them and ask good questions.
And what costs to have that question in the first place? A problem, right?
Right. And that's what I was thinking about. One of the things I take away from this is this reminder that something really bad or, you know, you think of just really sad and terrible happened in this person's life, but then he took it and was able to bring his whole life into a new direction and do something really beautiful. So this idea that, you know, one terrible thing that happens or tragedy doesn't have to define your life mm-hmm. and mean that your life is done for or in a bad place. That beautiful
Jason, do you have any other questions about this today? Did you understand it better now?
Okay.
See, you have to represent all the people listening today.
That's
if you
true.
Have questions, ask us. Mm-hmm. But there are always questions, and there are always problems in the world.
That's
so
true.
Whenever there's a problem in your life or in the world, you say, what if? And think of solutions. Think of answers. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. So we all be back here?
Definitely.
Definitely.
We'll see you again tomorrow. We'll come back and talk about the what if part. That should be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? See you tomorrow then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.